Well, we're on the Beatitudes, and today we are on Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Now, as I introduce this, it may come as a shock to you for your minister to tell you this, but I used to be interested in wrestling, and a friend and I would very often wrestle in our mid-teenage years. Nothing serious. Just a bit of fun, usually. Now, some of you might remember the Saturday afternoon wrestling with people like Mick McManus and Cat Weasel. I wonder, do any of you remember those people? And I know you're thinking Stephen has completely lost the plot now. Another friend of mine actually was quite interested in a more recent type of wrestling, professional wrestling. But here's the thing, some of that professional wrestling that you may or may not have been interested in at all. Here's the thing, and I hope this isn't a surprise to you, much of that kind of wrestling was scripted. Sorry if I've burst the bubble. The wrestlers didn't actually hate each other. Their punches weren't actually really hurting each other. And actually, once the match was over, they were very good friends. Sadly, life is not like that. Fights in this world are real. People get hurt. Relationships are badly damaged and maybe even smashed to pieces. We live in a world of division, a world where countless numbers of people are at war with someone, one side at war with the other. Maybe someone here listening today, to say at war is putting it much too strongly, but you're at war with somebody in your family, maybe a parent. Maybe an in-law, maybe a former friend, maybe actually, dare I say, someone sitting in front or behind you in the church. Well, maybe not at war, but you know what I mean. There is a problem. Jesus says his followers will be those who will not want to keep the pot stirred, but they will actually try to be peacemakers. Jesus says in this passage, we didn't read it, we've read it a number of Sundays, but Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, and we're working our way through the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Peacemakers, it's a big subject, not always a straightforward subject, but it's a really important subject with many implications for our lives. This subject affects our lives, your life, my life, in your home, in your business, in your church, in your street, in our society. So let me try and pick up on this subject just in a basic way this morning, but hopefully to try and just lay out, well, why is he even talking about this? Well, it should be obvious. Jesus was the one who talked about it. First of all, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. So, three simple headings. Peacemaking and in the form of questions. Why? Why? Why do we even talk about this? Well, think about the nature of God. Think about the nature of the gospel. The verse that is often quoted at Christmas time, Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Our God, our Savior, is the one who bears the title, the Prince of Peace. Think about these words. I've already read some of them. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, talking about the Lord Jesus, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who are far away and peace to you who are near. And Paul puts it another way in Colossians chapter 1. Let me read the verse. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed upon the cross. And so, why are Christians to be peacemakers? Because the God whom we worship is the one who first and foremost has come in his atoning death to make peace with sinners. He is the one who has broken into the enmity. For God demonstrates his love towards us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I suppose sometimes, folks, we almost become used to that, and we don't always see it as we need to see it. It's in the very nature of God. He is the ultimate peacemaker. Christ is the ultimate Prince of Peace. And so we who are his followers, those of us who profess to be followers of Jesus, many of us here today, we are also to be people of peace. Another couple of verses there. That great passage in Romans 8, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So Paul says, whenever the Spirit of God is within you, that you begin to be controlled by his ways, the ways of life, and the ways of peace, and many other things. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And let us therefore make every effort, he says, to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. So why do we think this morning, why are we to be peacemakers? Well, simply because the God we worship is the ultimate peacemaker. He has come to make peace with sinners. Our Lord and Savior is the Prince of Peace, and he calls his followers to follow. And that's why Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God, the daughters of God. We are bearing the resemblance of our Father when we stop stirring the pot and try to do what will work for peace and a better way. But you say, well, Stephen, that's all very idealistic and very nice, but how on earth can that happen? That seems a bit beyond what I really want. And that is so true. And so we look at the question, well, how? How can this happen? You see, let's remind ourselves that in all of this, that sin and self-centeredness is our problem. That is the problem with our world. Now, we live in an age in our nation when our nation just doesn't believe that. It doesn't believe it. And so today, the churches, and many churches are maybe sitting half empty, and many, many people are worshipping in some shopping mall or wherever. They don't believe that the great problem of our age is sin and self-centeredness. Somebody once put it like this, you know, the world would be a great place if everybody was like you and me. Well, maybe not. But you see, that's not the way the world is. It's full of very different people, with lots of different ideas and opinions. And even within our families, even within our community, you can get different ideas, and sometimes somebody expresses an idea and it irritates you and annoys you. And then on a much worse level, things can descend into disagreement, discord, and division. Dislike leads to hatred, and hatred leads, well, it's a terrible example to even give, but hatred leads to the news that came out of Pittsburgh yesterday. Dreadful stuff, awful stuff. And sin is the big problem. And it makes us stirrers, and it makes people warmongers rather than peacemakers. And this brings us to the gospel, because the Lord Jesus Christ came to make peace with sinners on the cross. Calvary, if you like, was God's reconciling power and the bringing of peace at a vertical level, when God broke in to bring peace between God and the sinner, between God and man, between God and woman. And whenever we experience that in our hearts, whenever we truly experience that in our hearts, I believe, it then begins to motivate us and equip us and empower us to go out as sons and daughters of God to follow the way of Jesus. And the way of Jesus is the way of peace. You see, it's only by grace, it's only by the grace of God that we can live this way. It's only by the grace of God that you and I, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, can say, you know what, I just want to go up and punch that person, but I'm a Christian. That's not the way that I can live. You know what, I just want to keep stirring the pot here, but actually I'm a Christian and I need, by God's grace, to see if I can calm the situation down. And you see, when God saves you and puts a new heart in you, then I believe that there is a desire. It may be the size of a mustard seed to start with, but there is that desire within our hearts to walk the way of peace. It's only by God's grace, it's only by the work of the Holy Spirit that you and I can be peacemakers at home or at work or down the street or in church or wherever it's needed. And that brings me to another question. Where? Someone may object, well, Stephen, does this mean that you're basically saying that others can just walk over the top of me? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. And there is a time in this world, we don't always speak about these things, but there is a time to defend yourself and your family and others. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a time for war and a time for peace. But much of the time in our daily lives, the words of Proverbs 15 and verse 1 are most appropriate. What does Proverbs 15 and verse 1 say? It says this, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How true that is, isn't it? I feel that's a very powerful text. Go and read it sometime again on your own and let it go through your head. A soft answer turns away wrath. And I can think in life of some examples where that really has literally happened and the whole thing has been diffused. Whereas a harsh word in return, and the whole thing maybe would have been a wrestling match. So where? Well, I don't have this on the screen, but think about it. In the home. In your home. How can we be peacemakers? Well, guard your speech. James 3 describes the tongue almost shockingly as being a bit like a fire. It can do a lot of damage. Guard your speech. Guard your tongue. Hold your tongue, dare I say. Watch your actions. So what can you do to calm that tense situation in the home? Or be a moderating influence in that ongoing argument, feud might be too strong a word, but in that ongoing problem, what can you actually do as from this moment today to try and calm the situation, to even help the situation? In your living room or in your kitchen, to pour on the oil, not just literally in the pot, but in the situation. Or that conversation in Facebook that you can see is deteriorating very rapidly and you can predict this is not going to a good place, this is going to create a problem here. You can actually maybe say something that will help the situation. Or you say, well, maybe I shouldn't send that text. No, that's definitely not the way to word that text. I'm going to scrub that out. I'm going to send something else that's going to maybe help the situation. You see, very practical stuff. Blessed are the peacemakers. Or in the church. I remember coming across a quotation, Sinclair Ferguson, in his little book on the Sermon on the Mount. He says this, and maybe very poignant. He says, our bitterness and strife, strangers in evangelical fellowships, alas, no. They were not absent in Rome or Corinth or even Philippi. And they continue to rear their ugly heads in our fellowships today. Too often the causes are pride and the desire for power and position. How slow we are to learn that we are a family. And that the Father's will is that we should live in harmony as a family. Now that goes without saying, and yet it has to be said. Not because I'm thinking of any particular problem here, thank the Lord. But you know that in churches sometimes people just forget this. And they just want their opinion to be heard. They just want their thing to be done. Because their thing is not being done, then there's a problem. That is not the way of Jesus. These verses say a lot. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort, brother and sister. Make an effort. Make an effort. It might not just happen without an effort being made. That problem or that issue's not maybe going to be resolved without you actually getting up and doing something about it. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And what a blessing that is, and that will be for this church family here in Kilkeel, and whatever church you happen to be part of, if every professing Christian believer took that to heart. And yes, there probably are times that somebody says something that annoys you, or somebody says something that you just disagree with, or and you feel like saying many a thing, and maybe you just have to hold your tongue or count to 10 and find another place to maybe try and sort that out. In the church. And then, of course, in society, and I couldn't go without saying something about this. Jeremiah 29 and verse 7. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city into which I have called you into exile. These people have been carried into exile. They had been carried to live amongst their enemies. And the prophet Jeremiah says, look, I want you to, I'm sure you're really sad about what's happened. I'm sure you're maybe angry about what's happened. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for this situation. I want you to pray for this city in which you're in. It's a very different place, almost like a foreign culture to you. But I want you to pray for it. And as you pray for the peace and the blessing of God to be upon this place, it will also be upon you. And upon those around you. Hebrews 12, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. And the image there is of the visions for society. And we have a poster up about it, a couple of posters The Presbyterian Church in Ireland adopted this a couple of years ago, and it's actually a very, very good statement and a very biblical statement. We affirm Christian peace building to be part of Christian discipleship. You see, that all this kind of stuff, it's not just for those who are left of centre, if I could put it that way. It's not just for the woolly-minded. It's not just for those who might describe themselves as being a bit more liberal. This stuff is for those of us who are conservative in our thinking and traditional in our thinking, that in our Christian discipleship, we need to take this also very seriously. And that's why, well, today was the day to sing that particular hymn. You know, I remember hearing a silly old story. Well, it was silly, but it was funny, but it wasn't funny. You know, from our troubled past, you know, the person who said, you know, I've been told to fight and I'm ready to fight, but I don't know who I'm meant to be fighting. To which a very wise reply came, look, maybe just live at peace with your neighbour. That's the Christian way. That is the Christian way. Time is almost gone. In everyday life, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, says Paul in Romans 12, live at peace with everyone. So let me try to tie it together this way. Is there a broken relationship? Is there a broken relationship that you need to mend? Blessed are the peacemakers. Is there someone to whom, and I know it'll not be easy, but swallow the pride. Is there someone to whom you need to go quietly and say, you know what? I'm sorry. Blessed are the peacemakers. Is there a situation where you just need, by God's grace, to forgive and walk away, or forgive and walk towards? I know it's not easy. But actually, you will discover, if you walk down that road, that it will be a blessing to you. It will not keep eating away at you. Whether the person accepts it or not, it's an entirely different matter and another story. But at least you have done what you believe is the right thing to do. Blessed are the peacemakers. You see, this is what a Christian is. A man, a woman of peace, at peace with God, at peace with their neighbor, longing for everyone to know that peace. And ultimately, at the heart of all this is the gospel. Please remember this as I finish. Ultimately, at the heart of all of this is the gospel. And we remember those words of the apostle. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the ultimate peacemaking. That's the ultimate peacemaking. Be reconciled to God. And once you're reconciled to God, then go out into the world as a follower of Jesus, as a son of God, a daughter of God, walking the path of peace. May God help us and may God bless us. Let's pray before we sing. Father, we thank you for the challenge. These are challenging words of the Lord Jesus, and yet very, very practical. Lord, help us as we go back to our homes and our families and our situations, just to do what your Holy Spirit has prompted us to do, and to know the blessing of the Lord. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.